God is good, amen. Would y'all one more time say welcome home to Bernie? Made my heart happy. Let's stand up and pray together this morning, y'all. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and it's forever and ever to our Father in heaven. Hallelujah.
Okay. The fourth Sunday of Advent, the angel's candle. We, as this flame, we are reminded the heavenly host proclaim Christ's arrival. Behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy. The angel's candle is also purple, reminding us that it was King's birth. The angels were announcing suggested Bible readings. Ezekiel 34:23.
I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd.
Luke 2:15-20.
So it was when the angels had gone away from them in heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them.
And John 10:11.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's the end of the reading.
Thank you, God, for the joy you give us. We ask that we wait for all your promises to come true and for Christ to come again, that you would remain present with us. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word, and to do your will by sharing your joy with each other. We ask in the name of our Lord Christ, born in Bethlehem. Amen.
Untouched by man, the testimony today. I saw a man on TV. We watched this show, these four people in Alaska, and they show different during the hour, and this one man lives alone in the mountains of Alaska, said he loves it, and he climbed a mountain nothing like we have in Connecticut, Gary, even in New Hampshire, the beautiful, this, he climbed the top of a mountain, and he sat there, and he looked around, and right away I knew what the testimony for God could be, because there's a lot of talk about climate change and warming, and I'm sure that there's a lot of climate change. We're probably responsible for some, but when I saw this man, I realized what we're missing. See, this man sat up on top of a mountain. You flew over a lot of mountains, Jack. And he sat there and he could see for hundreds of miles, hundreds, maybe thousands, I was just hundreds, of land that was untouched by man. He saw valleys. He saw the mountains. He saw rivers. And guess what? There were no bridges, Jim, over the rivers. No bridges, no cities, no electricity, no lights, no power, no generators, no airplanes. He saw God's creation in its purity. Amen. He saw the way God created the earth to be. And I was saying to myself, I bet I could walk up there, sit down with him, and start talking to him about God in the Bible, and he would see it immediately. He would see it because around him is the evidence of proof. Amen. And we live in this world now. Here we live in Connecticut, and we see the news, and we see all the things in the world, and you see the cities all over the country. I saw, they were talking about John Glenn. How many know that we lost John Glenn this week? And they were showing John Glenn and flying in Freedom 7, and they showed the earth at night, and they showed the United States, and it was all lit up. All lit up. The entire country all lit up. And who did that? God didn't do that. Man did that. Amen. So when we've gone so far with technology and with everything that we have here in 2016, that sometimes it could be hard to see the creation. Sometimes it's hard to see God in what we've created. God created this world in such beauty and such splendor for who? For us. And this man sat on that mountain and he could see God. We climb a mountain and we look down and we see traffic on Route 8. We see 84 backed up in Waterbury. We see six lanes of traffic on the LIE, both directions tied up. I hear on the radio 2-hour delays going through the Holland Tunnel, 2.5-hour delays going across the George Washington Bridge. And you wonder why people don't have time to talk to God. Amen? But this man showed me, I saw it again, God. What was that, friend? Yeah, that was just, they'll never understand that story. We went to Yankee Stadium this year, and Fran drove us, said it'd take about 1 hour and 10 minutes. It took about 4.5 hours because a potato truck got stuck on the parkway under a bridge in New York. A potato truck full of potatoes wasn't supposed to be on the parkway. As a matter of fact, on the way home after the game, after midnight, the potato truck was still on the parkway underneath the bridge. It's hard to see God when you're seeing that, amen? But this is why it's hard to talk to our children about God. We went to the mall. Anybody been any Christmas shopping? You see the people walking through the mall? They don't see you because they're like this. They go in the restaurant. I think it's great. I mean, technology is wonderful. All the fun things we're doing with all these things that we have to play with. But that's where we're going. That's where our children and our grandchildren are going, to the technology. I joke with somebody. I say, where are the flexible flyers? Where's my sled that I can go out? No, we don't have anything like that. Because kids would have to go outside and play. And maybe I'm a little over the top with that, but they're not going outside to play. Amen. We have so much that it's so hard to talk to them about the creation, about God, and what God has blessed us with. You see, what we're looking at is the blessings that we receive from God, the technology and the wisdom of men that created all that, the beautiful things that we have. But we forget to see that the gift first started with who? God. And that's the testimony today. If you can only go someplace, maybe at night, and look up at the stars, you'll see God again. If you go to a mountain and you just look around, like Gary, and Marcia go to New Hampshire, you can find places where you can see God. You find it in your backyard if you can get away from the noise. And then when you start to see God again, you'll start to understand how much He loved us and what He's given us. You'll start to see Him in a different way again. You'll start to call on Him again because He created this for us. And if there is man-made global warming, I don't know, but if there is and we caused it, amen, then we have to look up to Him to help us to turn it around, amen. We have to look up to God, and I'll tell you what we have to do. We have to invite God in to help us. If we don't invite Him in to help us, we're going to make a bigger mess than we made of it already, amen. So the testimony today is to find a place where you can see God. That's what I used to talk about when I went hunting. I know that I talked to people, said maybe you shouldn't talk about hunting, but and it's not the hunting. It was the being in the middle of the woods and looking around and seeing a woodpecker 20 feet away doing and watching chipmunks, and then having a hawk land right next to me and watching him, and then seeing deer in the distance and seeing animals and seeing the squirrels in the apple tree getting the apples. George, you've seen it all your life. To be there and to feel it and to just let it, you forget about bills, you forget about traffic, the weather, you forget about everything except the nature. You remember God. You see how God has made all the animals do all their things every day that they have to do. Amen. And they, all of a sudden you start talking to them. Man, God, this is great. Look what you did. Look at these animals, how they take care of. Look at the circle of life that you created. And then we get back to the world and we get too busy. Amen. We can't be too busy anymore. We gotta love them again. We gotta see them. And Jack, especially you fly that aeroplane with your beautiful bride there with you. And you're the pilot, but he's the master pilot. And he's watched over everything. And you think of the times where you thought, I don't know if I'm gonna get home or this is gonna, and God is saying, my hand is underneath your airplane. Now you may have never saw it that way, but if you talk to a believer, that's what they're gonna tell you, that his hand was under that airplane, and because you were such, he brought you home. But you've seen things from up there that we have not seen. You've seen beauty up there. You've seen the sky. You've seen the sunset from a place where we don't see it on the ground. When you see a sunset or a sunrise, you just got to think of God. Amen. So untouched by man is still on the earth that he created. Amen. This earth that he created, it's for us. We need to see it in a way that we can tell our children and our grandchildren and share the story of God. Say, yeah, he is real. He is so real. And remove some of the daily things that we do. Remove the noise to get closer to God. And when you do that, you'll have an inner peace that you didn't know before. And when you do that, that inner peace will start to heal you. That inner peace will start to raise you, start to give you comfort, Jim. It'll start to make you feel things you didn't feel before because you're allowing the peace of God to enter you. Amen. And that's his testimony. If you allow him to enter, your life will be different. Amen. Give him praise, church. That's the testimony. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given to us. Oh, Lord, will you help us to see the things that you've created for us? That you would help us to see the beauty that you've created for us. That rivers that never run dry. The rivers that run into the ocean that never overflows. The bounty that you have given on this earth. The seeds that produce themselves over and over and over without any man touching them. The creation, the perfection that you blessed us with. Let us see that again, untouched by man. And when we see it, wherever we find it, I know where I found mine. I know somebody will find it somewhere else, whether it be in a sunset, a sunrise, wherever they find it. Let that be the beginning again of discovering God all over again. Removing all the noise. All the noise of the world and getting back to God and seeing that he really did create something so absolutely amazing. Let us not lose that. Like that man sitting on the mountain, looking around saying, look, there's nothing. There's no bridges across those rivers. There's no roads on those hills. There's no pollution in those waters. There's no pollution in the air. I could sit and talk about God with him and he would listen, because as I was talking about God and the creation, he'd look around and say, yep, just like you said, the beautiful sky, the stars, galaxies, the land, the valleys, the trees, the animals in the forest. Yep, I can see God. I see what you're saying. We need to go back to that place in our hearts and see God, and it will change our lives immediately. We're not alone. With God, there's always more. Find that God, find that, and find that joy. And then we can tell others what we discovered with God. In Jesus' name, I pray that you do that at Christmas.
I guess somebody else to say amen? Hallelujah. David, I want you to write something down and read. I want you to look at Deuteronomy 7 when you get home later. I got a letter in the mail talked about a church in Bridgeport, Congregational Church. 300 people go to the church. How many? 300. This spring, I believe it's the spring, the church is closing. Financial reasons, they can't keep the building open, and the word of God will not be taught there any longer. The doors will be closed. How many people? 300 people in the congregation, and the church is closing. And as the church closes, something else is going to take over the church. And as that something else takes over the church, every trace, every single trace of Jesus, the gospel, the Bible, the good, every single trace is going to be removed, completely removed. There will be no talk of Jesus in that building ever again. Zero, nada. And David, I want you to read Deuteronomy. Anybody want to look up Deuteronomy 7? Deacon Gary, you might enjoy that. Powerful, what God was talking about. And I just wanted to share that. It's just so powerful to think, well, we don't have a lot of numbers. We're growing. We've got, Elder Pat, we're still praying. George and Pat. Pat is feeling better, but they have to, one more week of her being home. But 300 people in a church and the doors are closing due to financial reasons tells me that the church got away from the focus. Amen. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. They got away from the book and the focus. They got their focus on other things, whether it be schools, whether it be donating, whether it be giving, whatever they did, they got away from the one thing that draws people in. And God said, because He will fill the church. He will fill the church with finances. Amen. He will bring people to church and they will tithe because they love Him. But somewhere along the line, this church with 300 people has said they have to sell the property and close the doors. So I want you to understand how valuable this church is to not just me, but to you. This church is our lifeline to God. This church is our chance. 20 years from now, we will pass by here and look and say, we had our chance to do great things here. And I just want to do all we can do. Amen. And I want God to open all He can do in your life, Jim, because if it opens in your life, you're going to bring somebody here like somebody brought you here. Amen. And somebody else is going to bring somebody. One word from one person will change the world. Amen. You might talk to one person. I'm going to say it every week at Stop and Shop this week. Say, I got a great church. And that person might say, I've been looking for a church to go, maybe I'll try it. And the more we talk to one person, leads to another person. So that Second Congregational in Derby will never face that. I mean, when you think about removing every, it's like somebody coming here and removing every single thing about God. Everything, Sergio. Every single thing. Every cross, every Bible, every hymnal, gone. Replaced with something else. Amen. That's what we have here is so important, amazing, beautiful, blessed. You have to look at it and say, this is your time. This is your chance. And you say, I want more from God. Great. So do I. Come here and help us do it. Come here and volunteer. Come here and say, I want to do more, Pastor. Let's have the women's fellowship. Let's have men's fellowship when the women are have a fellowship. Let's put a sign, not the big electric sign. I'll buy some flag. Put something in the newspaper. We need to let people know that this church, your church is alive, amen, and talking about who? God. Hallelujah. Give them praise. I know it's your... When you read that, Deacon Gary, you're going to see that's exactly what they're doing. They know the word. See, they know the, and they're not afraid to do what they said they're going to do. And that should scare us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Revelation 12:7. Thank you, Father. And war broke out in heaven. Where? Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. How much of the world? He was cast to the earth. Where was he cast? And his angels were cast out with him.
Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." They overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus. And by the word of your testimony. That's how they overcame. They said, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come." Hallelujah. For the accuser of our brethren. He's coming for him. He's coming for Satan, who has accused them before our God day and night, and he has been cast down. Amen. Give him praise for that. Hallelujah. That's the beginning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Then the Lord took God. I'm going to go to Genesis, right to the beginning. Genesis 2:15, if you want to read when you get home, if you want to read with me. But, you know, just you may read it at home if you like. Write it down, 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. You shall not eat, for in that day you will eat of it, you shall surely die." Amen. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Say nothing.
I heard somebody.
Thank you, God. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. Amen. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb." I want to find her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Well, what I'm trying to bring you to is we just talked about Satan. And where was Satan thrown to? Earth. Amen. And God created, what did he create? Earth. Amen. And where did God put Adam? Hallelujah. Then the God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now the serpent, the who? Was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent, who? Said to the woman, "You will not surely die." What is that? A lie. Who told the lie? The devil. And he goes on to say, "For God knows that in the day of you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You'll be powerful, he's saying. He's telling, oh, you'll be so powerful. You'll be so great. You will be like who? God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it a fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Who'd they hear? The sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. There had to be only one person. Who would that be? Jesus. And in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Don't doubt he knew. He was just asking, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." I was what? Afraid. He wasn't afraid before of anything. He had no knowledge of fear.
But now he was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman who you gave to me, she gave me the tree and I ate. Under the bus. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. I know what that guy used to say, the devil made me do it. Praise God. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Amen. Sergio, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. I know he had writings from Noah's children, you know, Ham and Shem. They probably wrote stories about what happened to them on the ark, Lisa. And he had writings from Abraham from 500-600 years before to talk about how he could write the first five books of the Bible. But I'm just talking me now. This is your pastor. I simply believe because Moses talked to one other person. He talked to God. How many remember the story of the burning bush? What was the burning bush? God. And then after he was took them from Egypt to the promised land and he went up to the mountain, who did he talk to on the mountain? Not once but twice. God. And he talked to them, they said the second time, 40 days he was up there. Talking to who? For 40 days. Now you think of this, something in your life that you had nothing else to do but talk to your wife, your husband, your best friend for 40 days. You didn't have to worry about eating. You weren't about dreaming. Isn't that good? You didn't have to worry about anything except talking. You didn't have to worry about your bills. You didn't have to worry about going to work. You didn't have to worry about clothes. You didn't have to worry about laundry, going shopping. You had one thing to do for 40 days was to talk with God. And God knew that Moses was going to be the one to write the first five books. They call it the scripture. The Jewish call it the Torah. That God knew that he was going to use Moses. Amen? Amen? So this is just your pastor putting a picture in front of you the way I... Yeah, you might see it a little bit different, but I want you to understand, I see Moses talking to God without any concern for any... Because when he's with God, what is he worried about? Amen? So he talks to God. And God gives him the Ten Commandments. And he gives him how to live. And he gives him these lessons that you can read in Exodus. But I can also see God, Moses, saying, Lord, how did it happen? Where did my ancestors come from? The creation of the world. Where did Adam and Eve... He started telling them about Adam and Eve. Because Moses wrote what I just read to you, amen, about Adam and Eve in the garden with the serpent. Now, the serpent was where? In heaven. And the serpent fought with Michael. And where did God send him? To earth. And what did God create? The earth. And the serpent is what? The deceiver who deceived Eve. So this is his territory. We are victorious over the serpent. I don't want you to think that we have, amen, with the one word, Jesus, we overcome the world, amen. But this is his time to get into your mind, into your heart, into your thoughts, amen. This is his time. And time for us to stand up and say, No, I choose to believe God. I choose to believe this book. Because God also knew that Moses was going to use this book, this one right here, to bring others to Jesus, to bring others to God. He was going to use this book. So Moses had all that time to talk to God, and he started talking about Adam and Eve. And I tell you this because I know that there are other teachers in the world, and you might go to another church. I know this for a fact because they talked about Adam and Eve, Jack, as if they were just, it was just a story. Not, they weren't really Adam and Eve. It was like a story talking about good and evil. And that's what they teach. Amen? Now, I'm going to just say to you that that's the beginning of choosing what is and what isn't. Amen? It's you say, well, Adam and Eve was just a story. I said, well, wait a minute. Moses told me. And Moses talked with God. And in Revelation, God's talking to John about the devil being thrown out and thrown here. So it all makes sense. But now you're telling me that that's just a story. It's a lesson. Then I said, well, what else was just a lesson? Was Noah just a lesson? How about Joseph? Was that just a lesson? You see, I choose to believe this. I choose as a child, as a heart of a child, to believe what my father tells me in this book. Amen? I think the safest place to be is inside this book. And the second we start thinking that we're smarter, wiser, or I'm going to teach you another way that starts with confusion, I think that's where stuff happens. I think that's where churches start to happen. When they start to bring in other things that are not in this book, saying, we need to get along. Amen? We're building a church. We're building a bride. How many times, Bonnie, have I said that? We're building a bride. How many brides do you have? One. Amen? You don't make that bride be like four or five other brides, because that bride is the one that God blessed you with. Amen? When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, receives a blessing from God. When he finds a what? A wife. Not three wives, not five wives, but a wife. Amen? So just like we are the bride, we have to be true to God. And we're going to talk about the baby Jesus. Next week is Christmas. The baby Jesus. Why did Jesus come? For redemption and for salvation. God knew that the sacrifices of animals was not going to be enough. Amen. When you read the Old Testament, now the Old Testament is about the Jewish nation and finding God and bringing us to God. Amen. Bringing us to Jesus. Amen. And when you read all about the animal sacrifices, you had pigeons and doves for certain sins, and you had the calf for certain sins, and you had the bull, Jim, for certain sins. You had all these things that you had to bring to the high priest in order to give them for your repentance, for your sins. Amen. But God had a plan from day one. It was, and what we read in Revelation, the Lamb, amen, the blood of the Lamb, his blood, one time. How many times? One time, once, for how many? For all. Amen. And that was the plan right from day one, right from Adam and Eve. Say, why are you reading Adam and Eve? It's Christmas time. Because you need to know why Jesus came. And when you know why he came, all of a sudden Christmas has a new meaning again, a new powerful meaning. Why Jesus came and born to a virgin, like Isaiah prophesied. The purity of Jesus, like the book prophesied. Amen. You understand that this baby was born for one reason, for us. For us. And you say, well, the devil will make me, he can't make me doubt Jesus, or he can't make me turn my, you know, it's might not be able to make us forsake Jesus. But let me tell you what the devil does and what he's doing. Anybody ever hear that Jesus had children out of wedlock? You heard that, Fred? Do you realize what that does? It removes the blood of Christ. If he wasn't pure, if he did something like we do in the flesh, that removes the power of his blood. The Satan is going to put thoughts in everybody. Well, he was with Mary Magdalene. Man, I've heard that about a gazillion times, that he was with Mary Magdalene. If he did that, if he actually did that, then we don't have salvation, friends. We don't have redemption or salvation. The fact that he called himself the Son of Man when he came, and he walked as the Son of Man. When he was 12 years old, he told his mother, what? I'm doing my Father's business. Amen. He came for one reason, the beautiful reason for us to start over again, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. I believe that. What is that prayer? On earth as it is. I believe that's what God has planned for. This earth will be wiped away. He will create a new one. A new earth the way it was. That we won't need any wars. We won't need anything that we have today. Because as in the Garden of Eden, all things will be given to us. And it starts for us with the birth of Jesus, our Savior. Amen? And you see, he didn't need any to do that with Adam and Eve. He could have made puppets. He could have made robots. He could have made them worship him forever. But that's not what God wants for us. God gave us something very special. Free will. Free will. He gave us that. Free will. Freedom is God's gift to man. To think. The power to choose. That's what he gave to us. So that when we have that power to choose, and right here we choose him, amen, then we get Jesus. Amen. The second you accept Jesus in your heart, you get that gift. That gift of eternal life. That gift of glory in heaven. That gift of being with our loved ones again. I mean, there's so many blessings. We can be here for a week talking about them. But you see, God created and understood that Adam and Eve were eventually going to eat. He knew that they were eventually going to do that. He knew that. Amen? And in doing that and allowing that to happen has opened, it began the story of Jesus. The birth of Jesus will be next Saturday. We will talk about where he came from and where he went back to and who told us that story. I think it's fascinating. So I will leave you with this. Remember the first five books written by Moses. When you read them, remember that this man you're reading spoke with who? And as you remember that, realize that God gave him that wisdom. Give him praise and glory, church. Praise God. God is good, amen? Hallelujah. I love this book. I love the stories in this book. I love the lessons in this book. I love the life in this book, the living word, his word. It just shows so much. I love Moses for taking the time to write the first five books, for giving us what he gave us, the lessons and the history that he gave us that we could look up. Next week we're going to read about the baby Jesus, but before we do, we're going to read from the one whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who chose above everything else to spend time with Jesus. The one who wrote Revelation for us, who had the time on that island to talk to God without any concern of anything else and any worries, because there was nowhere to go except to listen to God. We'll listen to John, and then we'll talk about the baby Jesus and what our Father in heaven gave up for us. Hallelujah. Redemption and our salvation in the baby Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate Christmas next week. Today we remember what Jesus did for us on that cross. Accept him into your heart this morning. If for nothing else, just give him thanks this morning as he took the bread, blessed and broke it, telling his disciples to eat. This is his body being torn for you. For us, do this in remembrance of him. Celebrate that this morning and just say thank you, Lord. Remember what I said, the devil can put thoughts in your head and into the world, but this blood was shed for us, for our redemption. When God the Father looks down and sees us covered in the blood of Christ, he does not see our sins. He sees somebody who loves his son and who is under that redemption because of the blood of the Lamb. Let nothing spoil that blood. In Jesus' name.